everything of the best in the job that you have with your colleagues going forward. Thank you, sir. We move now to our first panel session. And our panel sessions, for those of you who are new to our association, are really interactive. And we would encourage you to be part of the panel session as such. We do have an extremely esteemed and eminent panel who are sitting before you. I could possibly say they represent the who's who of Latin American exchanges, with the possible exception, obviously, of the lovely Leonella, who does break the scenery a little bit. And also, unfortunately, Brazil is not with us. But that in no way diminishes the panel in their expertise that we have. They do have their names in front of them, so you know who they are. One of the most esteemed citizens of the country that I come from, South Africa, is a gentleman who I'm sure you have heard of by the name of Mr. Nelson Mandela. The story goes that Mr. Nelson Mandela was once visiting an old age home, and he was walking down the corridor and he met this little old lady coming towards him, and he stopped and he said to her, "Good morning, madam, do you know who I am?" And the little old lady looked at him and said, "No, but I think if you go to the reception counter, they will be able to tell you." And that is why we have the names in front of you, so you know exactly who is on the panel. I'm not going to introduce them or give them or give you their CVs, because what we want to do is actually hear from them. There's another delightful story from my country of a farmers' meeting. I'm in commodities. I know there are many of you who are in commodities, and farmers are an interesting bunch of people. I think right across the world, they are very similar. And the chairman or the master of ceremonies was introducing the next speaker, and he was spending a lot of time on the person's CV, telling the farmers how many publications he had written, how much research he had been involved in, and he was going on for some time. Eventually, a farmer from the back of the room said, "Enough, we want to listen to him, we don't want to breed with him." I hope the translation comes across in Spanish. Our plan of action this morning is basically to hear of the various exchanges. Now, the exchanges that these gentlemen represent were trading products before you and I were born. In fact, before most of us, I think, well, probably all of us were born, because we have, as you know, the 100th anniversary of MATPA. So they've been around a long time, and they can teach us a lot. So that's my first objective, is for us to learn from the organizations represented in the front. My second objective is to provoke discussion. And I come back to the question and the matter of, if you have a question, please feel free to ask that question. And then my third objective is to finish by 12:15 for lunch, because that's also very important. My plan of action is to ask each one of our panelists for a maximum of 10 minutes, about 8 to 10 minutes, to give us some background about the exchanges or the organizations they represent, what they trade, how they trade it, basically some background. Then I'm going to ask them some pertinent questions with regard to the challenges they faced and how they overcame it, and then what do they see going forward. And again, I would welcome as much participation as possible from the floor. You'll see that they all represent exchanges except for Leonella. But Leonela is in good company. Leonela, for those of you who do not know, hails from Cuba. So we have all Spanish speakers. I think most of them will speak in Spanish, but perhaps, I don't know, Louis, you might well speak in English, but you're welcome to speak in Spanish. We do have the simultaneous interpretations. And while on that, thank you very much to you in the booth for your job that you are doing. So we are going to start really in the north with Mexico, and then we are going to come down to Argentina, and then we are going to go back to Geneva, because Leonela is now stationed with UNCTAD in Geneva. So, firstly, bienvenidos to you, and thank you for being part of our panel. If I could start with you, Señor Jorge, from Mexico, to give us 8 to 10 minutes of the Mexican Derivatives Exchange. Thank you.
No, you. Puede quedarse sentado allí si lo desea. Muchas gracias por la presentación y le agradezco a FM.
In this 10th anniversary conference, congratulations for the organization of the event and congratulations to Mercado a Término de Buenos Aires for the beautiful organization of the event, and it's a privilege for MEXDER to participate in this event. So with my 7 minutes remaining after this thank you very much section, I want to go to maybe 3-4 important topics and important points that are affecting in the good sense, and some of the challenges we have in front of us for the development of the Mexican Derivatives Exchange. MEXDER is a relatively new exchange. MEXDER was born in 1998, so it's a very, very new exchange in many aspects. We were born with an open outcry floor back in 1998. In the year 2000, we moved to a fully electronic trading environment. In 2001, we made a slight change to introduce market maker programs, incentive for banks to participate as market makers, and having some kind of assistance with a voice mechanism very similar to the ones used by the interdealer brokers that you may know. But MEXDER is a fully electronic exchange, and in 2004, we bought from MEF, the Spanish Futures and Options Exchange, their system to introduce not only the future system, but only to be able to offer option systems to the participants. We have financial futures and options only. Our interest rate contract, the 1 month interest rate contract, is one of the most active contracts traded worldwide now, according to the FIA. And we are seeing a lot of interest also in the equity segment, represented this by the Mexican Stock Exchange Index. The future on that index, independently from the performance of the index, the volume has been doing very well, and a lot of it is explained by foreign participation. Not only Mexican pension funds, not only the Mexican mutual funds, but now we have, for the first time, also a very active foreign participation in these products. That is easily... You can see it easily on the volumes that we have seen in the past year, in which was 2006 a record year for MEXDER. We got, starting 2006, we changed the strategy a little bit, and we decided to move forward in a very aggressive strategy to allow non-Mexican members to trade in the exchange. That was a very big step for us as a Latin American exchange, but it was the only way to go. We needed volume, and we needed more participants. And that new participants are not necessarily Mexicans, and we realized that. So we talked with the authorities, we got full support from them, and we signed some memorandums of understanding. Actually, our regulators signed some memorandums of understanding with the U.S. authorities, and we got by September the so-called no-action reliefs from the CFTC, from the regulator on the futures markets for the U.S., and now our contracts can be distributed in the United States as well. And that gives us a huge opportunity in the years to come. But that was on the regulatory front. Parallel to that, we move into a very intense process of modernizations in the trading systems. If we are going to allow these new participants to come from all over the world to trade in MEXER, we better be ready to allow them and to have that kind of response that they are looking for. So we have now two remote members that are not physically located in Mexico, that are routing orders from the United States, from Europe, and we have now clients even coming from Australia. We develop a FIX interface. FIX, as you may know, is a protocol that allows exchanges and banks to talk to each other in a very efficient way. So we develop an interface in this FIX protocol that connects our system, the Spanish systems, basically with the rest of the world. Companies that are present here today, like RTS and PAT Systems, who are independent software vendors, are now connected to the exchange, and their systems that are used by many banks around the world can speak now to the exchange. And that has started to pay off. We are starting to see the volume flowing. And we used to have, back in December, around 9,000 trades a day, now 9,000 orders, only in one contract on the Mexican Stock Exchange option, the Stock Exchange Index option. We used to have 9,000 orders per day. When we move, because the authorization from the CFTC, and we allow the remote membership feature to start trading in this option contract, we went in one single day from 9,000 to 16,000 orders in just one day. And then back in January, we hit 67,000 orders in just one day. The response that we are getting is huge. We have now the intention for at least four more non-Mexican members to join the exchange. And in our side, we are investing a little bit more in technology to give response to this traffic and quotes that we are starting to get. We are now capable to receive around, we were from September capable to receive and handle eight orders per second. We are now managing 24 trades per second. And the plans are that in next May, we are going to be able to handle 300 orders per second. So that gives you an idea of the kind of volume that these new players are able to offer in this technological and world and global expansion. It was a difficult move for us. The shareholders, the owners of the exchange, were not very happy with the idea at the beginning. But with pension funds joining the market, international banks really and actively trading Mexican benchmarks, now the mutual funds community in Mexico will be using derivatives. For us, it was a matter of doing it and take that necessary step for allow not Mexican members to participate in MEXER or to face the risk of seeing our contracts to be traded maybe at CBOT, CME, or somewhere else. So we decided to move that way, keep the liquidity in Mexico, and have these huge banks, huge FCMs, entities that are really active in derivatives, to give us their liquidity. The benefit is clear, and now maybe the most, the happiest guys in the street in Mexico are the banks and the local broker-dealers that initially we face some reluctancy from them, and now they are maybe the most active ones are now joining this liquidity and getting the benefit of having this international community trading. So those were, let's say, our biggest achievements during 2006, and maybe for 2007 we're going to start exploring commodities. We signed with NYMEX an agreement to have natural gas trading in MEXER, hopefully this same year. It's a very sensitive issue in Mexico, but this is maybe a brief outlook that we may have for 2007. Thank you very much, and I'm glad to be helping. 10 minutes, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. I am amazed. We have a story in South Africa of someone who came across from South America to Africa and said to one of our local people, "Do you have any words in South Africa like manana?" And the reply was, "No, in Africa we have no word that carries quite that sense of urgency." But gracias. Is there any question from the floor on a point of clarification? Hamdi, I'm going to allow one or two questions with regard specifically to the Mexican exchange. Hamdi. Okay, Aton, we just need a for the translator. Thank you. Thank you, Viviana.
I am asking a question about your interest rate futures contract. What is so special that the volume is very high? And, you know, your contract's maturity is short. And probably there will be some sort of regulation which makes this contract is so successful. Could you give some additional background information on this?
Sure, very, very fast. The it's a 1 month contract. It's pretty much exactly the same thing as LIBOR, but it's the Mexican interbanking rate. The reason why it's so successful is because the Mexican banks are using it, and there's a huge credit boom in Mexico related to the mortgage sector. So typically the banks are borrowing on a floating rate basis and lending on a fixed rate. And they need to swap, and they need to fix this risk and manage these risks. The cost of equity and the cost of capital of doing these trades in the OTC market is higher than doing it in a registered exchange. That's Basilea, basically Basilea regulation. But that's it. If any, that's the only incentive we have. Actually, we are facing huge competence from the OTC market as well. The difference is that we have a clearinghouse and adds some security for all the trades. But rather than that, I would say that there's nothing special about it except that banks in Mexico actively trading that for risk management on their asset liability management. But this, the contract is a plain vanilla futures contract on 1 month interest rate. It's 1 month interest rate, but it goes, the contract itself, the future goes all the way to 10 years. So you can buy or sell 1 month interest rates of Mexico starting on, let's say, March 2017. So that's what the banks are using to manage the risk. That's basically it. But it's pretty much the same thing as the euro-dollar contract in CME.
Hamdi, I'm going to suggest that you have lunch with Senor, but we might well come back to it. I do want to proceed. I want to proceed now as we move down the line to one of our very new members, Rofex from Rosario. Those of you who don't know, Rosario is about 4 hours' drive to the north up the river. My colleague and I had the privilege of visiting Rofex and Rosario. I have never seen so many soya beans in my life, but it was a wonderful place. Luis, could you please give us some background to Rofex? Thank you, sir.
First of all, good morning to everybody. I am going to address my speech in Spanish. as we have simultaneous interpretation in the room, there's not going to be any problem. It's going to be bilingual. I am going to speak Spanglish because I'm going to address a speech in Spanish, and we're going to have the slides in English. First of all, I would like to thank the authorities of the Association of the Futures Market for having invited us for this organization, for this excellent presentation that you're given. And I would like to thank the fact that you have accepted us as new members. So we are very, very proud to belong to your institution. Let's hope that we can contribute our assistance and help in terms of searching new markets. I would like to thank MATPA also in its first 100th anniversary for being the host of this event. They've been very, very close friends to us. And also, I would like to thank all the attendees. The topic is the current exchange situation in Argentina and expectations for the near future. That means, what are the expectations for the near future? As Rafex, I am going to refer to the present situation of our market and to the market of derivatives in Argentina. And what are the expectations, the challenges ahead to have a great derivatives market with an international projection? Before addressing this issue, I would refer to the history of Rafex to give you this by way of background. For many of you, it may be unknown, some probably. Rafex was founded in 1909. That means that has accompanied the history of our country. Its performance and its inception as an agribusiness market has not been foreign to the situation that have undergone our production, our grains markets. During the first 20 years of life, Rafex accompanied the growth period and importance of Argentina in the grains future traded volume. And it lived one of the great periods of splendor because of the volumes that were traded and the importance in prices. The future markets of Argentina became, at that moment, the benchmark of international prices. Later on, we had more than 60 years of fluctuation of the Argentine economy, with no volumes and no possibility or probabilities of growth. As of 1989, the year where we started negotiating or trading in dollars of this agribusiness sector, the market emerged, and we had, in 2001, a new growth period. Unfortunately, the crisis of 2001 that Argentina underwent meant a great impact, an unfavorable impact for the grains market. These markets need a reliable and solid market to operate. That is why we had a significant sharp decline that only after 5 years we see a recovery. Despite this general scenario of this crisis, we had Rofex plans to diversify the portfolio. And in May 2002, we had the dollar futures trading. This involved an increase in the market for volumes traded and for the players that participate. In 2006, the annual traded volume growth exceeded 18 million contracts. This is a volume that is unbelievable, and it implied like a 35% increase. This is maintained nowadays, and happily we can say that after the first 2 months of this year, we had volumes that are 50% over to the identical period last year. Rofex had these achievements through the constant innovation and maintaining them itself at the avant-garde technologies of the most successful markets. By way of example, I would like to mention the most important innovations, some of which justify the growth that we demonstrated before. Rolfex was the first market across the world to offer commodities over or on an index of futures. Rosafe, the contract of soybean, was the first future contracts on commodities that did not need a physical delivery, and this was the present for future tradings. Rofex had electronic trading for the first time in 1998 and through the internet in 2000. At that time, we had free markets at the worldwide level that had long-term strategies over their floor shouting basically or a viva voce. In 2002, there was a creation of a separate clearing house, creating Argentina Clearing, the only clearing house of derivatives in the country. Argentina Clearing is rated AA by Standard & Poor's thanks to the strength of its guarantees for collaterals and the compliance of international standards of risk management. The same year, ROFEX started negotiating financial derivatives with the dollar future contracts. And finally, in 2001, we started with the demutualization process that was completed finally in 2006. To be a trader in ROFEX, you don't need to be a shareholder. The nature of shareholder and operator in the market was divided, following the structure that is followed by the international markets. Due to what I said before, ROFEX right now gathers traders from all sectors, brokers from all sectors, and this is unprecedented in the Argentine history. Right now we have the main banks, exporters, and brokers of Argentina. The brokers of ROFEX are conceived as clients of the marketplace, and they have a vocation of a high-quality service at low cost, and this is the guideline for the management decisions of ROFEX. The menu of portfolio offered by ROFEX is very, very wide. However, the liquidity is focused on a few products. In terms of futures or agribusiness futures, in the near future, we would like to add to the future a portfolio of soybean, corn, and wheat, we would like to have livestock, the characteristic of which will have a final adjustment in cash. Even though in Argentina we have had several initiatives with similar products, we believe that the market conditions are more propitious right now than in the past. But the news is related to financial futures. In a few weeks, we are going to launch the negotiation of future contracts on sovereign bonds, those of which really call our attention on the part of our brokers and call the attentions of brokers abroad. This is based on the present situation of Argentina, and I want to highlight that in this panel we are represented by all the institutions that make up the local derivative market. That is why we couldn't have a better situation or better vision of the situation of the futures in Argentina, and we are presenting it right now. In terms of agricultural futures and options, MATBA and ROFEX are conducting an effort in order to capture a larger volume. This volume is low compared to the crops in Argentina, and even considering to the volumes traded through forward contracts between parties. But in terms of financial aspects, the complementariness of the future markets with the counterparties in the central bank and the bilateral operations of the OTC, electronic OTC, is bearing fruit with larger volumes in both entities. Recently, the Central Bank of Argentina and the Securities and Exchange Commission send the executive a netting bill, and when it is approved by the Congress, will empower the volume of the OTC trading, and therefore it will benefit the futures market as well. We have some pending issues that we could say that we lack in Argentina. Futures and options on some interest rate futures and stock index futures. These are indispensable for the operation of the capital markets and the economy in Argentina. But the crisis of 2001 made the endeavors in terms of interest rate futures not to bear fruit up to now. However, as the macroeconomics in our country consolidate its numbers, the market of futures increase, and the possibility of negotiating derivatives becomes a reality. In ROFEX, we believe that in the next 2 years, we will have conditions for negotiating future trades, and this will become a reality. Based on everything that we said, we can draw some conclusions as our history and the present situation, the challenges for Argentine future exchanges. We have needs to attract foreign participants or players to the future exchanges, not only locally, but from abroad. MATPA and ROFEX are working jointly with the Central Bank of Argentina to find some mechanism to allow foreigners that want to participate in our market to conduct market-to-market abroad. Presently, this is not possible right now. And if they want to trade in the local Argentine market, they could deposit the collateral abroad, but they could collect the earnings or deposit their losses locally in Argentina. So that is why we achieved a larger understanding on the part of the authorities, and we are very optimistic that we can obtain some regulation flexibility in the short term. On the other part, we can capture or attract speculation investors. We try to educate people on our products to disseminate this in the electronic markets. It is very, very important towards this endeavor to have electronic trading system improvements. Up-to-the-minute electronic trading systems that could allow order spreads, negotiation of options due to volatility, and they could be open systems where brokers can connect through their own routing systems. Another challenge for the Argentine exchanges would be the integration. And this could, we believe that is twofold. Locally, that will allow to lower the cost to players, that will facilitate clearing, arbitration, and avoid the duplication of infrastructure, and also facilitate integration across the world with other exchanges across the world, leveraging synergies that would allow us to have a better snapshot than the present situation. Also, I would like to say, what is the process of the mutualization and the importance for ROFEX? The division of trader and shareholder that usually results in conflicts of interest that sometimes are barriers that are very difficult to overcome. Futures market should be constantly looking for innovation. Innovation means change. And our markets and our exchanges should avoid reluctancy to change. If they do so, they will discover that the future will bear fruit for all of us. Success depends on us. Thank you very much.
Excuse the expression, Luis, your elder brother. MATPA, and it's a pleasure to welcome Senor Ricardo Mara, who is also, as you might know, the chairman for the upcoming year of our association, and our congratulations again, Senor, on your 100th year birthday. Please, could you carry on this very interesting discussion of Argentinian derivatives, with specific reference, obviously, to MATPA.
Good morning. In these 8 minutes I have to introduce a market This is new for us too. We are going to show you a video. The video is in English, and then I'll have 1 minute left to give you a few figures about how the market stands now, so Rock has no problem in this sense. We'll show the English version of the video.
It is necessary to travel some road. And in each landscape we see, in each person we meet, there is a possibility that a new story will start. There are stories that unfold together with everyone's work and projects. There are stories that are part of each individual place, but take on special significance when they're put together, when they give rise to new dreams and opportunities through an exchange of experiences between people. These opportunities are increased when they are backed by transparency, security, and continuous innovation. In search of these values, a road has taken us to one of the most important and special cities in the world, Buenos Aires. Buenos Aires is the capital city of Argentina, a country with a long tradition in agribusiness. To a large extent, the country's growth was and is linked to this basic activity. Buenos Aires is one of the most important cities in the region, and it is a cultural, business, industrial and financial center from where transactions are carried out with every international market. There are institutions in the city that over the last century have contributed to add transparency to business through their daily operation. One of these institutions is MATBA, Mercado a Término de Buenos Aires. In 1907, the Argentine president, José Figueroa Alcorta, took the initiative in promoting the creation of the Buenos Aires Futures Market, with intention to record and protect futures transactions in agricultural commodities. The institution started operating that year, following the country's dynamic growth. The 20s were a key decade in MATBA's development, as it became the world's leader in futures trading, its prices being used as a benchmark all over the globe. From the 40s to the 90s, trading volumes declined due to the country's economic situation, but MATBA continued its operation, trying to achieve the best results for its customers. In the 90s, with a dollarized economy, MATBA was given fresh impetus, widening its business opportunities from several angles. MATBA trades in different commodities at ever-increasing volumes. State-of-the-art technology has been introduced to provide a better service to both brokers and customers, and to face the future challenges posed by the country's economic outlook. Brokers at the trading floor represent those who want to make transactions in a transparent and reliable environment. MATBA offers an invaluable possibility to those who need to hedge prices against fluctuations or to minimize business risk levels through financial instruments such as futures and options. An agricultural producer may hedge the sale of his crop by selling it at a future price and protecting himself against possible changes in prices. Industries may set the cost of the raw materials as early as 18 months in advance, thus optimizing financial processes and stock management, which results in improved profitability. Exporters may obtain better costs of goods at point of origin, since futures operation improves the logistics, minimizing storage costs and hedging the price of their shipments against possible fluctuations. At MATBA, investors have an excellent opportunity to trade in both the commercial and financial sectors through the purchase and sale of commodities futures contracts. Other players, such as financial institutions, banks, and companies, may improve the lending options by securing the recovery of any principal amounts lent by means of futures and options transactions that will enable them to protect repayment of those amounts. This, in turn, would allow them to improve their competitiveness and lower their interest rates. MACBA also offers them an opportunity to diversify their investment portfolios with transactions backed by commodities. The constant incorporation of state-of-the-art technology in MACBA has resulted in the possibility to trade via MATEBAS, MACBA's e-market, an advanced service designed for brokers' convenience. We are backed by a long expertise in quality assurance standards. Thanks to that, we have obtained ISO 9001 certification for our trading system. MACBA is an institution that operates in our community by contributing its knowledge to it, as well as adding to the progress made by its members. That is why it is committed to inform people about its activities to the press and the staging of special events such as training courses for brokers, growers, and college students. Working as a team on the basis of commitment, MACBA has been paving the way for good transactions ever since 1907. Mercado a Término de Buenos Aires. A century of trust guarantees our future.
Okay, now you can say you've come to Buenos Aires to see an avant-premiere, because this video has been shown for the first time, explaining a little our market, and you've seen the faces of some of our traders too. For those that don't know, the Mercado a Término, our main products are agricultural ones, particularly soybean, that is sent out through the Rosario port, and wheat through Buenos Aires, and maize or corn through Rosario, negotiating and allowing delivery at different parts in our republic. As you've seen in the video, we operate on the floor, and then we have two hour operations with an electronic market, seeking innovation in our way of trading and seeking updating. We have come closer, as Ursula said, with government entities, and we also establish or have relationships with MAE. We've acquired their platform called Siopel, and indeed, this is an electronic trading platform which is a lot better than the one we had, and that we had set up through our IT people over 10 years ago. These are the products traded in soybean. This last year we've experienced growth, as we've shown in a table by the central bank director, and what Luis Ursula said to us. From 2002, all markets were reborn somehow. We had to start from scratch, and now we can say in 2006, 14 million tons were traded, out of which 8 million were soybean, 4 wheat, and 3 million tons of maize or corn. As a new product, we have our regulatory body has approved the soybean oil contract for biodiesel and for edible oil. Regarding the challenges that the markets face here in the region, I believe that we believe that education comes first. Maybe this has been said by previous panelists. The education of the players of the members, but also of the authorities, because many times they don't realize how important the futures markets are. We that will have lived through the 2002 crisis, which was almost a terminal crisis, and we were able to reemerge. I think it's essential to have this new relationship, and all the futures markets are tackling it together with the SEC and the Ministry of Economy and the Secretary of Agriculture too, to highlight the importance that this tool has for hedging producers against price fluctuations. Regarding education, I think that in Argentina we've made quite a bit of progress in the last few years. Futures and options is taught at all universities as a subject for the economic careers as well as for the productive careers and engineering too. So I think that for the forthcoming generations, it won't be like in the case of my generation where we knew very little about futures and options contracts because that wasn't taught at university. And another essential tool, another essential challenge too, is an interrelationship between markets. Just like us now, we are working jointly with ROFEX or with MAE for developing the electronic platform. I think that I was part of the board in 1996 when we had to support the setting up of this futures market, because I believe the experience of the markets, the problems of the markets, and the solutions implemented by each one, although they may be different from one another and our idiosyncrasy is different too, but it's very useful to learn from them to avoid mistakes that maybe were committed or made by others. I wanted to be brief because since I showed my video with a little music too, I don't have much time left. Thank you very much to all of you.
Gracias, señor Mara. Thank you very much. We move now directly to complete, in a sense, the Argentinian picture, which I think is very interesting, and I hope we'll be able to come back to the integration aspect of it, and also to something that you mentioned, Mr. Mara, and that's the need to educate politicians. I think it's something that we all have. But I'd like to move now immediately to Señor Diego Estevez, who is the Executive Director of the Electronic Platform. Thank you very much, sir.
Bueno, muchísimas gracias.
Muchísimas gracias. Thank you very much. Thank you for your attendance. I would like to thank the association AFM that was kind enough to have invited me to be a panelist here, and to congratulate Ricardo Marram for the 100th anniversary of MATMA. And also, I am very, very pleased to be in this event that is going to be very attractive, undoubtedly. The Master of Ceremony said that we had only 8 minutes, so I'm going to speak for 3 minutes of my and 5 minutes to give you some reflections of what are the contents of the title of this panel, and it's the way we see the situation of the Central American, South American markets. It's not a minor issue considering integration and globalization processes that we are seeing across the world. MAE is an organization created in 1989 that was auto-regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Ministry of Economy in 1993. Its board is made up of by banks, 45% of national origin, locally from Argentina, both state banks and private international capital banks, 33% of foreign banks, and the rest made up by pure brokers coming from the out of the open OTC stock exchange. MAE has undergone a process of transformation, considering 200 shareholders that we had in the past. Right now we have 90. And this is the result of the many modifications or changes that have undergone in the banking system. Most of the players of MAE are banks. So the business of MAE has evolved as well. Initially, MAE was a market where we had shares at fixed rate and fixed rate bonds, and then we had an agreement with the stock exchange, and the stock exchange reserved itself the trade of shares, and the rest was operated and traded in MAE. And in 1997, we decided to make an important, significant upgrade because we saw this movement of technology looming, and we created a technology development division. And from the historical point of view, we're very proud of the results that we have gathered over the last 7 years. We created the electronic operations that is called OPEL, that is a state-of-the-art system in terms of electronic trading that allow us to export the system to Uruguay, to Brazil. Also, Brazil operates this in Bovespa for fixed rate trading and BMF, and also we exported this to Colombia, to the National Stock Exchange of Colombia, to the Central Bank of Colombia. And 4 months ago we subscribed some contracts to export this to Costa Rica jointly with the Central Bank of Costa Rica. So it's not a minor issue. And we have entered the commodity sector with MATMA, signing an agreement 10 months ago so that MATMA could trade with this Yopel platform. Along the 90s, we specialized strongly in bond trading. We participated in all the trading of the Central Bank and the Ministry of Economy, but we had default in Argentina. Imagine how difficult it was to survive in an electronic trading market with bonds in default. But at that time, we created the phrase, we came up with a phrase, that we said, after default, there's always life. And we decided to implement a new business unit that was the negotiation or the trading of foreign currency. Along with the Central Bank of the Argentina Republic, we organized this foreign electronic market that represents 70% of the transactions carried out in Argentina totally electronically. After that, we made progress in terms of repos trading, as Mr. Corsiglia said, the director of the central bank, that accounts for a large volume right now on a daily basis. And over the last years, we started with some pending issues that we had that were futures financial derivatives, basically focus on three products: foreign currency, the index of adjustments that we have that is called SER, S-E-R, and the Butler rate that represents the relevant rate of the banking system. These three business dealings allow MAE to have a volume of $24 million per day, and we had records high with volumes in dollars since convertibility or the currency board, where we have $1, 1 peso. So looking back, we have evolved, we have made good changes. We have had a cultural change, electronic operations in the capital markets in Argentina. This was very, very difficult because the idiosyncrasy of traders is different here. They are used to operate in a certain way, but MAE and banks had help, and several institutions have helped us to make this upgrade over the last 4 or 5 years with a lot more efficiency. I would like to make 6 reflections in terms of the way we see the context and framework of markets in Central America and South America, considering our experience that we have had in implementing the COPEL platforms in Brazil, Colombia, Costa Rica, and Uruguay that allow us to have a global scenario on what is the movement or the strategy of Latin America in these issues. The one issue that we have to highlight, and many of you may agree with me because they represent emerging markets, is that despite being highly critical of our administration, the administration of Bush was very favorable to us because there has been a significant imbalance of its external accounts and fiscal accounts. It is translated in a spectacular increase, positive increase, in our checking account balances, in a spectacular increase of commodities, as Mr. Marra mentioned, and this allow us, or this allowed many emerging markets to start canceling debt. That means to get rid of debt and to make their capital markets more efficient and to transform what was debt denominated in dollars, in hard currency, in our own domestic currency. That means we can borrow the example of Colombia, of Argentina after default, canceling the debts with the IMF, also Colombia's example, Mexico's example, the rising issuance of bonds in these countries under the jurisdiction of local law that were accepted largely by the public, by the investors, and this was translated in a re-emergence of the emerging countries in a new, what I call a new paradigm that would allow us to overcome not only the probable crisis that we see ahead. In this sense, getting rid of this debt on the part of these countries together with the development of floating rates such as the success in Mexico and Brazil, allow them to introduce a variable of need of hedging for these countries that allowed that great development of the derivatives markets. That means when you see the scenario of the late 80s and the late 90s with fixed rates and the control of exchange, what kind of coverage or hedging can we have in this market? So for emerging markets, imagine that we are facing a scenario that is very optimistic and very promising for the future with great probabilities that we could promote new business dealings, tradings, and operations. The second issue, in my opinion, what we have seen is an uneven balance in a formula between the regulatory entities of several countries and some private institutions like the markets, and especially the Securities and Exchange Commission, the central banks, the IRSs, the markets. I was comparing, for example, some volumes that were traded in the Emerging Markets Trading Association in New York, the promissory figures that they have for 2006. And I was considering the countries of Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina, and the volumes of trade of New York are spectacular. And in some countries, they exceed 50%, or they double the bargaining value or the negotiation value of these countries, like the case of Argentina. So this is like the transnationalization of the market, and that the business will be conducted in New York and in every single market. So it decreases value added, business opportunities, and profitability to us. And this is linked to the need to change the regulatory frameworks of the SEC, of the central bank, to have tax offices that shouldn't be fearful of having fly-by-night capitals, and to generate reliability to attract these funds and not to be constant evading tax to negotiate in New York or to trade in New York. The third issue that we are seeing is technological revolution. we cannot avoid the speed or the rate or the pace that technology is having across the world. 6 months in terms of technology nowadays is basically is a century in terms of the speed or the pace that platforms are changing. We are seeing two trends mainly. Technological or traditional technological platforms that tend to be a commodity nowadays, that are a package product. It's a package product that you buy and you connect it and it works. And then, depending on the upgrades, you depend on the upgrades. And then, in my opinion, what we see as a major challenge ahead is E-Trade fixed protocol applications, where in most of the countries we are seeing a great interactivity with the public. And this will lead to a process of denationalization, decentralization, and to get rid of the middlemen. And the markets need to be ready to assimilate these changes in terms of technology, because I was seeing, for example, a regulation passed by the SEC in Argentina to operate, for example, a bank with a branch in the province of Córdoba or in the province of Santa Fe. The bank has to integrate part of its capital contribution to operate 300 kilometers away, in a considerable figure in terms of pesos and dollars. And we well know that you can operate or you can trade with a BlackBerry without any type of inconvenience. So we need to have the need of making the appropriate changes and adjusting to the new trends of technology where markets cannot lie behind, because if not, we are not going to live up to the expectations of traders and investors. Fourth issue. It is clear that, as Mr. Mara said, years ago, the issue of futures, derivatives, and hedging was an issue that was concentrated in the hands of a few experts. This involved, control of certain rates, restrictions of macroeconomics. But with the world nowadays, with the information in real time, with floating exchange rates, with or fluctuating rates of change, with technology expansion, what do we have left? We have to start what Adam Smith said in his books, in his classic bestseller books. What is the exchange rate? Is the relative price between two monies. And the exchange rate expresses the interest rate in itself. Ergo, or thus, everything in terms of interest rate and hedging is the great business for the future in these markets. Obviously, I'm not going to speak about other markets, but of the emerging markets of Central America and South America. Merckxner also demonstrated this. BMF also demonstrated this. When you see the figures of contracts negotiated in the case of BMF, 90% are on interest rate, and this demonstrates the trend. And effectively, Brazil and Mexico have a floating interest rate. There is risk, and there is a demand of hedging, and this is what we're interested in. But Argentina is in its inception right now. For many years, Argentina has left convertibility, and right now they are approaching the floating interest rates. And it's a relative floating rate, because for the last year and a half, right now we are in 3.1 to the dollar, and as Mr. Corsiglia well explained, this implies the central bank to support a certain exchange rate, and the volumes of the contracts that ROFEX generated and MAE generated obviously were very, very successful. And this led us to think that Mr. Marra said, and that is the cultural phenomenon and the idiosyncrasy phenomenon. The issue linked to risk and to hedging is a phenomenon that is not really analyzed, has not been analyzed in Argentina. When you talk to businessmen, to the large corporations, to the large farmers, recently we are seeing these being applied, or that these concepts are in mind, but we need to promote this cultural change and not to disregard hedging. We shouldn't disregard the role of the scalper, of the speculator, because they are intrinsically linked to the capital market. So at the level of large corporations, at the level of markets, and at the level of regulatory agencies, the SECs, the central banks in the many countries, there's a lot to do ahead. And banks, on the other hand, have to play the role of managing risk. And as Alan Greenspan said some time ago, the issue is not maximizing risk, but to manage it. And that's why we have markets, to help traders to manage risk. Last but not least, mergers, strategic alliances, and demutualizations. Personally, when you have seen the large strategic alliances, Ionex and many others, sometimes I have cold feet. Sometimes I prefer the ones in Latin America, or the central bank, the process of demutualization, for example, the examples of Rofex or the example of Upespa, that is working seriously. They created teamwork to accelerate this process of demutualization, and some strategic alliances. For example, MAE has alliances with Bovespa, with the Electronic Stock Exchange of Uruguay, with the Stock Exchange of Colombia. And the role of shareholders, strategic shareholders, in a process of demutualization is very important, is key. So, to conclude, finally, I think that we are approaching a summary that this is a cocktail that is very, very attractive. There's a lot of development in terms of technology, the rise and role of derivatives, and upgrade that have to be performed by the regulators. And on top of that, with an ingredient that is a technological advance that scares many, but I think that we need to be on the tip of the iceberg. Thank you very much.
Reflections, particularly. UNCTAD is an organization that I think is familiar to most people. And they have a division that deals a lot with commodities and commodity risk and exchanges. Leonella is here. Leonella, you from the region, as I mentioned. I know you have a particular interest in not only the region but emerging markets. I'd love to hear your views of what we've heard and also the integration of the region. Thank you.
Bueno, yo voy a tomar la oportunidad de poder hablar en español. Así que esa oportunidad no la tengo mucho, así que voy a utilizarla en primer lugar porque me gusta el español, mi lengua materna, y en segundo lugar porque no tengo muchas posibilidades de utilizar.
When Rod asked me to talk a little about Latin America, I thought I'd speak about regional integration. I'm going to start a little, since this is the first panel, I think it would be interesting to place Latin America, better say, in the international context. We've just published, in collaboration with the Swiss Futures Association, in its 33rd publication, an article on emerging stock exchanges. We have a map, and if you take a look at that map, you'll see that if you compare European markets to Asian and Latin American and African markets regarding derivatives, both financial and of basic products, Latin America and Africa account for practically nothing if we compare it to the rest of the countries, particularly given the growth of the Asian markets. I'm not going to delve deeper into what Asia has meant because normally a lot is said about China and India that are big players on the derivatives markets, but Amarutan, who was our mentor, our boss in the work we are doing about derivatives in UNCTAD, if we compare annual growth of CX and MCD, which are the multiple commodity stocks exchanges in India, they grew 678% and 398%, or in the case of NMC, which is the third, that grew by 538% in 2006. That's very difficult to compare with Latin American growth. But however, when we talk about growth in Latin America, and moreover, we've just published a small article for the Handbook of World Exchanges in Mundo Visione that will be published in March now. In between 2000 and 2006, Latin America grew at a level that is higher than the world compound. That is 32 compared to 15 of the global compound. This growth is more significant between 2002 and 2006. And in 2006, the Latin American growth was 34% in futures and options, that is derivatives, compared to a 20% of the global compound. That means that Latin America is growing. Now, if you compare it to growth in other parts of the world, it's difficult. Then I'm going to, since I'm the last panelist, maybe I can summarize what the rest of the participants have said. This gives us an idea of what's going on in Latin America. Undoubtedly in Latin America, and this I'm going to say at the beginning, Rod, the prevailing stock exchanges are those of the big countries, big producers, big players. Undoubtedly we have the exchanges of Mexico, the Brazilian ones that are not present here, but they are here somehow because Brazil has been mentioned, and the exchanges in Argentina, Rofca and Malva. These have determined the growth. There are small exchanges too in other countries. There are exchanges in practically all Latin American countries devoted to the spot market, and some, like in the case of Venezuela and Colombia, they will do forward too. In the case of Colombia, they use some sort of futures too, but these exchanges are very small compared to the big exchanges in Latin America that we are talking about. However, and talking about the challenges and summarizing what has been said, undoubtedly something that's essential is government policy. It's the exchange is a reflection of what happens in the country, in the market. You don't create an exchange because it looks nice or looks good. In some countries, it's created as a mechanism to help producers, but if the market does not allow it to operate, the exchange is just a dream. And many of the exchanges created, and this happens in Africa, for instance, practically none of the exchanges has moved forward because the markets are small, there's not sufficient liquidity, and the market does not allow them to operate. Government policies undoubtedly play an essential role. We have to join forces to try and educate and ensure stability. Mekte has had is the last one created in Latin America, but however, in 2005, it had a terrible year. I was discussing it with Luna because I didn't know Jorge much in that time. The contract, the T28 that he was talking about, that is 98% of the trading in the exchange. Was reduced by 52%. It's the greatest reduction in a derivatives market, but he said that the reasons, some of them mentioned by Jorge, were related to the regulatory policies, the taxes that were increased for foreigners, a series of measures in the same year that turned it into a catastrophic year. But in 2006, growth was over 600%. That shows us insisted, they persisted, when you have 52% loss on a contract that takes up 98% of your market, it's very difficult to overcome that. But Matba and Rofix talked about the 2001 crisis here. When Gustavo spoke at the last AFM meeting we had, he was like a phoenix bird. He closed the exchange. They had to close the exchange, and then it reemerged. I think one of the factors they mentioned was trust, perseverance too, but the trust of the traders on the market. So we were talking about government policies, having a sound system. When we talk about sound system, we need it in the banking sector and in the market, but also in the exchanges. Self-regulation is very important. In China and India, they talk about excessive speculation, and you talked about speculation. A market without speculation cannot operate. And in China, well, they say, what's excessive speculation? Regulation, self-regulation of the exchanges that have a mechanism, that work in derivatives, know what happens. Many times they've tried to avoid in these markets where there are companies that prevail in the market. This you can regulate in the exchanges with the mechanisms you have. That sound system of the exchange that creates a reputation for the government to trust the exchange. Now, we were talking about other aspects to innovations. This was mentioned by Diego and Luis, the problem of innovation, the problem of persistence, learning not only from experiences but also from other countries, and the problem of cooperation within the country as well as outside the country. That's very important. I'm convinced that for Mayan Rothfix, it's better to cooperate when they go and visit the government. For MCDX, for instance, because they're all fighting for a market and they are going to compete too, but when they have to undertake a behavior before the government, it's better to take a single voice than to go and fight in an unproductive manner. So cooperation is important, as the colleagues have said. Cooperation between exchanges in the country and regional cooperation too is very important. The experience mentioned by Vieo, for instance, how they've been applied in other countries to education, that's very important. In Ethiopia, they're trying to create an exchange, but the first thing they have to do is to educate the government as well as the population at large. We always think that the people should imagine that this is a mechanism. It's not a political mechanism. It doesn't depend on elections. But ultimately, even in the USA recently, and I was talking this over with our colleagues recently, we're going to publish a new document on the strategic options for the exchange. Why is UNCTAD going to prepare this document? Because many of the problems we face in Geneva with the governments is that the governments continue saying that the exchanges are mechanisms for the wealthy and for a small part of the population to become wealthier. And then we explain to them, and then the ambassadors change. Rod was an ambassador for 5 years in Geneva, but then that person leaves and another one comes and the positions go changing. And they continue saying the same thing. The exchanges are for the winners, and every time they give you an example, we were talking about the FIA president that had to defend the U.S. stock exchanges in March when the increase of prices in wheat and sugar took place. The exchanges aren't to blame for that. It reflects what's going on. But if they decide to produce more ethanol with maize and sugar, the prices are going to go up. It's not that the exchange to blame for that. In the case of Mexico, for instance, some prefer to go to the exchange and not to go to the OTC markets because there's a guarantee, a clearing. We try and educate, and we have to insist on that because the politicians change and the policies of the countries change too. And there are some populist policies too. it's easier to say, well, you can send your corn expensive and buy it cheap, but no, you can't do that. And it would be good for the exchanges to be used to help poor populations, but for that to be sustainable throughout time, it has to be a mechanism where the market is respected. If not, it's not sustainable, and that is what has happened in many of these places. Another aspect I wanted to mention is, apart from innovation, Diego has already mentioned the technological aspects because the scenario has changed completely. I remember that in 1998, we went to a meeting where we were discussing whether it was better to have the electronic market or not, and the advantages of one and another. For some, well, in Argentina or in Brazil, there have been, this outcry mechanism has existed always, but in Eastern Europe, we've published this book. Some of you have seen it, where we talk about this. We did it in collaboration with the Swiss Association of Options and Futures, and the consultant said that it was impossible, for instance, in Eastern Europe, for people to be able to use computers. The computers in Ukraine were there. The people found it very difficult. They bought, say, 100 computers. This not only happens in the Eastern countries, in Turkey too, in a World Bank program. We had a beautiful floor with computers because there was money to do so. And the open outcry couldn't operate because there was marble there and it echoed terribly. And that exchange had records of all the trades, and everybody would register in the everybody that registered in the exchange would have a subsidy. So everybody tried to go to the exchange even if the market wasn't properly developed. So these are some of the aspects I wanted to insist on about what my colleagues have said. In Latin America, there are two levels. We've talked about the exchanges like Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, and then come the small exchanges. The Association of Exchanges created in Argentina in 1994. And at the second meeting of Latin American stock exchanges, the first one was in Ecuador in 1993, and at the second meeting, an association of stock exchanges was created in 1994. And this association has tried to bring together the small stock exchanges. This is an association that discusses other topics, despite the fact that I believe we always have problems in common. Another aspect that we believe is important, apart from education, integration, learning, and with the new technology, educate too, is to, and this is important for exchanges too, is to reach out to the agricultural exchanges, to the population that would not have access to this information, because the exchanges are transparent and there are many parts of the population we cannot reach out to, the small producers particularly. India has had an excellent vision, and they will mention this directly, but it's interesting to see how they have reached out to layers of the population through satellites, through internet kiosks. These are innovative mechanisms using the mail as a distributor, using internet kiosks in the different countries, 506 were installed in 1 year. The experience is very interesting because undoubtedly when you speak to the producers in India, the producer, the farmers, if before they had to pay an intermediary for what the intermediary asked for the product, now he can go to the exchange. Maybe the individual farmer can't go, but they go as an association and they get a price that they wouldn't have achieved if they depended on an intermediary that tries to collect a fee or have a margin with this. This can be done in a more transparent manner and more efficient manner through an exchange. Exchanges like BNF, which is big, in 2002 created the Brazilian Commodities Exchange. And that is the objective of the BBM, try to reach out to the farmers. It's important to think strategically. For instance, there are some small exchanges that when they have big gains 1 year, they're using them the following in projects so as to create a more positive image of the exchange. Undoubtedly, experiences can't be copied from one region to another. This meeting aims at listening to others' experiences, but no doubt some technological innovations help us to think how Latin America can move ahead in this growth with very professional players that we have. Recently, talking to the chairperson of the Nicaragua exchange, he said they were very interested in Central America to create a regional exchange with the support of Indian technology. That's a possibility. Maybe in Central America it's easier if we talk about Latin America. When we talk about this right now, you have Chavez in one part and Bush in another part of Latin America. Now it's difficult to think how Latin America can become a single voice. I'm not a politician, but when we take a look at this, it's very difficult to talk about regional cooperation, but no doubt that the small projects, national ones too, national integration, as Brazil did, creating the exchange network, as Nicaragua wants to do now, brings about savings and you achieve an economy of scale that's necessary to move forward. Thank you.
Have Leonela on a panel so she can summarize and take the job of the chairman. Thank you very much, Leonela. I have not been a very good chairman. I have only achieved one of my objectives. I failed on getting you out in time. I failed on giving you participation, but I did succeed, I trust, in giving you a lot of information about Central America, and I must thank my panelists for that. I'm not going to allow any questions. I'm sure that if there are some questions, you know who to address those to, and you can speak to the various gentlemen or to Leonela over lunch. I do take heart, though, in what Diego said. I did fail, but if I heard the interpreters correctly, there is life after default. I have a wonderful admiration for simultaneous interpretation, so I thank you. I have even a greater admiration after sitting next to Leonela and listening to her speak in Spanish and how well you kept up. So thank you very much for that. All that remains for me is to say thank you very much to my panelists. It's made my job easy. I do have a little gift for each of you from South Africa. This comes because it's a privilege for me as a South African to share in this panel. So I will hand those out. Thank you very much. We break for lunch now. We want to thank Eurex very much for sponsoring the lunch. And we will resume at 2 o'clock. So that gives you all a little bit of time. 2 o'clock, we will resume here. Thank you very much for your attendance, and thank you again to my panelists. Thank you. Thank you.